Good morning. Welcome again to another edition of St. James Missionary Baptist Church's podcast. I'm your host, Brother Cotton. I'm also pastor of St. James Missionary Baptist Church. Coming to you with some of the questions and comments and issues that I hear from time to time, and we like to share them with you from the perspective of what the Word of God says about them. That is what we do here on our podcast, which is our theme. How important is the Word of God to you when it comes to and whatever that particular issue may be? Excuse me. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord, always, because you're so good and you're always so good to us, and we're grateful and we're thankful. As we go forward at this time, Lord, to engage in conversations, issues about what's going on in our lives and in the lives of men today, we pray, Lord, that you would lead us, guide us, direct our thoughts, our speech, and let it always be seasoned with the salt of the word. I pray, Lord, that you will allow us to be able to engage and that become enlightened by what you teach, what you say in your word. So guide us, Father, in our conversations, even as we go forward today. This we do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuse me. Today, on this podcast, we're going to be addressing how important is the Word of God to you when it comes to the position a church should take when it comes to social issues, the position the church should take when it comes to social issues. Now, first off, I understand that there are a number of issues that may be labeled as social issues. And I also realize that I do not speak for the church, for the entire church. I don't want anybody to think that I've taken it upon myself or some organization or someone around has appointed me as spokesperson for the church. No, however, as a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, this makes me a member of the church. And I'm speaking from how I see the word of God directing me to respond to this question, as I see what the word teaches. So this is part of the reason why we do this, hoping that maybe you will chime in and you will comment on this podcast. We can engage even in further discussions on these issues. Now, there are many issues, as I stated, that could be considered social issues, and there's no way that we would have the time to address them all. And I'm not going to try to, but I am going to just address three of, I perceive as very common social issues, and that is the issue of abortion, the whole gay issue, whatever, from whatever perspective one sees it from the male perspective, the female perspective, and the transgender, whatever way you want to look at what the word says about simply being gay, and also from race relation. And it's, and all of these are gigantic issues. And there are many different ways that people are approaching these issues. I don't think there's any doubt that these should be considered social issues, issues that, the way our society, how they have affected and how they are affecting our society. And like I said, people look at these from different angles. Some might call them social, political, social, whatever different positions. I don't know, but we're taking them under the umbrella of social issues. But it, looking at abortion, wow, gigantic issue. I don't think that anyone at this point in 2025 are debating the issue of whether it is killing or, dare I say, murdering a person. This was the issue that I remember years back that folks were fighting to see whether this embryo or fetus was indeed a person. Now, this is what was battling in the court, because if people could say that no, it's not considered a person, then they could say no, it's not considered murder. And that argument is going on for years and years and years. That position is pretty much died out in the world view, the society's view. That particular issue has pretty much died out, at least here in America. You don't doubt that. No, yes, that is a living being. That is a person inside of you, a small person, an underdeveloped person, a person who does not have all of their body parts developed yet, or even their mental capacities reached yet. They will say all of that, but nevertheless, a person. Okay, so having said that, we're not going to debate that particular part of this issue. We are talking about a living being. Then you have those who take the position of, okay, these beings cannot speak for themselves. They did not ask to be here. They did not have anything to say about them being born or being brought here, conceived. But since they are here, it is the responsibility of those who brought about their conception to look out for them, to speak for them. And if they're not going to do that, then those of us around should cry out for them, because they're innocent. They're innocent. They have no voice. And someone needs to let them know that, yes, they may not have an audible physical voice, but they need to be heard. They need to have someone speak up for them. These are issues that have, and I don't want to say underlying issues, but these are points to the whole issue of abortion that have been brought out and are still being brought out. And once society has agreed with these, all of these, I'll say underlying points to this main issue, we get to where we have gotten and where we are right now when it comes to abortion. So having said that, you say, well, what is the definitive position that the church should take? Well, I want to point out a couple of passages of scripture, okay, from the Word of God, and you tell me what you think about this. You'll find in Exodus the 20th chapter in the 13th verse, as well as in Deuteronomy the 5th chapter in the 17th verses, four words, four simple words. You shall not murder. This is God speaking. It gets no plainer than that. Now, folks want to debate it. Well, who gives them, why why would God say this? It does not matter. Understand what we just said. God said this. That settles it right there. If he said, you shall not murder, you shall not murder. If there is an issue, a problem with anyone who says they believe that the Bible is the word of God, and they have any issue with it, take it to God. But I'm not going to leave you right there. That would be kind of cool, cruel, and maybe even an immature way to leave that. You say, okay, we understand that you shall not murder. God said you shall not murder. In Proverbs 6, chapter and 17 verse, in the King James Version, it reads like this. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. The Lord hates this. It's an abomination to him. First off, one, I don't know about anyone else, but do you really want to participate in anything that the Lord hates? Anything that is an abomination to him? I'll just throw that out there. Secondly, I don't know, and I'm not going to try that is if I do. I don't know what country's laws okay murder. I'm just looking at it from a simple point of view now, from the law itself, because we understand that the Bible wants us to obey the laws where we live at. Okay. What country's laws okay murder? I didn't say anything else. I just said murder. Number three, how much more innocent can a person be than one who has no voice? One who cannot take care of themselves. One who cannot even cry out at all. Has no way of defending themselves. How much more innocent can that person be? And the person that sheds their blood, that kills them, that murders them, that act is something that the Lord hates. That act is something that is an abomination to the Lord. Just throwing these things out there. You said, well, you're going right into what was back years ago in the Old Testament. And there, even before the grace of God was taught, we know we're not going to have that argument to sidetrack us from the issue. We know that all scripture is profitable for man. I'm not going to go through all of the verses. We've done that already. But I will say this. In the New Testament, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, 21st verse, let's see what it says here. Again, I'm speaking from the New International Version. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. anyone shall not do it. What did I say? Shall I do it? Now, this has brought about a lot more discussions on this, because the issues come up now. We start bringing up circumstances, various scenarios. It's like the young person or the person who was abducted, raped, forced even to bring a child into the world, had no say in that matter. Those are a couple of terrible issues. One, being raped in and of itself, and then finding out that you become impregnated as a result of this rape, this horrendous act. Does that female, and a lot of times I wanted to say, does that woman, and because some people want to argue this, but I'm not going to, just because a female is able to have a child, does that mean that that woman is indeed a that excuse me that female is indeed a woman? Some would say by definition, because she can have a child, that makes her a woman. I'm not going to argue and debate that. Okay, I can speak of females who've had children as young as 12 years old, 11 years old. I personally know of at least three young ladies who were pregnant and weren't even in the fifth grade. Okay, so yes, we can debate that issue if we want to. Okay, but there have been young people, young ladies, females who have become pregnant at such a young age, where they should not be even put in a position where they have to make a decision about aborting a child. And in most of these cases, the parent has to make that decision for that child. I don't know about anyone else, but I would hate to have to be in that position to have to do that, when you have to weigh so many things. The young one's innocence is gone. There's no, nothing to be said about that, and all the other moral and issues and things that come with that, and let alone the practical issues in the raising of the child. And you're asking a child to try to raise a child, and some will say, oh, well, automatically the parents have to intercede if they have chosen indeed to bring this child to term. And then let alone the religious aspects that we're looking at, it's a lot. It's a lot. So yes, there are circumstances, and some of them are terrible circumstances. We know that there have been even females that have been abducted, as we mentioned, and forced to, not only have to engage in sex and to become impregnated, but forced to bring these children up. And I'm talking about actually held captive for some years, and to find these things out. And once the child is born, there's nothing that could have been done then. But there have been some who have been captured and have been found, and they were still pregnant. And here comes the issue of abortion. So yes, we do know that there are circumstances that can come in and that will influence a decision of whether to abort the child or not. We understand that. And it's not a welcome situation. And you say, well, what does the church have to say about that? That's how folks, you see how folks will do that. They'll swing it to, well, what does the church say? Well, the bottom line is, what does the word of God say? That's the bottom line. And murder is still murder. You say, but this child did that. Well, there are some issues that need to be brought out. as we just mentioned, superficially we mentioned them. But if you're going to bring what the Lord says in His Word about this issue, then be prepared to follow what the Word says and do not take the Lord out of the picture. A whole lot of things can happen between the time that child becomes impregnated and and I'm talking about the mother now of this of the embryo fetus, the baby. A whole lot of things can happen from the time that that female has become impregnated until it's time to come to term with that baby. There's a lot of things that can happen if she does come to term, or when she comes to term with this baby. Do not take God out of the picture. If you're going to bring him in, then let him be completely in. Don't take him out of the picture. He said, well, now you're getting into different issues about the moral and religious aspects. That part is for another time, a deeper discussion. The point is, we cannot get past, and we all agreed that we are talking about it. A child here, this embryo, this fetus, when it comes to that point, and we all understand that they are living beings. And to abort them is the same as saying you have shed that innocent blood, you have murdered that child. And the Word of God says, don't do that. We cannot go past that. And now to bring up all the other underlying points, issues, so if you will, that goes along with that, we can go ahead and argue and debate those, but that's not what we're going to do today. We're bringing up dissociation from that perspective. Okay, now we want to go further with that we can do it another time, and we're prepared to do that, but I wanted to just mention these three issues in the time that we have allotted for this podcast. Secondly, we talked about being gay. Oh my goodness. Being gay. Well, he said, well, you got cut and dry. You went to right straight to the point when you talked about abortion, about you brought up the issue of murder. Well, let's see if we can do similar here. And I'm hoping of always that this prompts more questions and more discussion, and we're more than welcome to do that. It depends on what I hear from you. I'm talking about the public now. You who are listening, you, those of you who tune in, whether it's live or whether it's later, we encourage you to comment, and that we may be able to devote a whole podcast just to the particular issue that you're bringing up. We know that in Leviticus, the 18th chapter and 22nd verse, it reads just like this in the New International Version. Do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. That is detestable. Quote, the New International Version. Same passage from the King James Version, a version that is probably more commonly used. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That word abomination again. God finds that abominable. And can we bring up other passages of scriptures where that refers to the same act? Because it applies also with women, lying with women, as opposed to a man, and then we'll get into other underlying points that come along with that. That should not take place anyway, unless they're married. And then if they're married, the word only supports male and female being married. So it all comes to there. That's the only relationship that the Lord allows for us to engage in sexual act with a partner is through marriage. And the marriages are male and female. That's all that the Lord sanctions in His Word. So you can see where all the big discussions come from when we start talking about But let us not ignore any other passage of scripture. In the same book, Leviticus, the 20th chapter, in the 13th verse, and in the New International Version, it reads like this: if a man has sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They ought to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own hands, on their own heads, excuse me. Well, someone can bring up the argument about, well, that's the way it was done way back then. On the part of them being put to death, I might agree with that. But one thing I do know, that here in the United States, we don't sanction to be put to death because people are gay, but in other countries they do. Understand, the world does not revolve around the United States. The world revolves, and we're part of it, but we are not the center of it. There are some countries where you'll be in prison simply holding hands or showing any type of affection in public, but to be found, people say, well, it'd be found gay. Things can may happen to you, yes. But he said it gets a little bit deeper. Well, he said, because I've heard it also said, how can you look at somebody and tell they're gay? And then that comes into trying to define what gay is. And well, I think too, the I don't want to use the word chagrin, but the things that I have seen in my little lifetime with the, and don't bash me for getting these letters mixed up. I do the LGBTQ or LG, well, you know, the letters like that. And they get, you know, to say them, this community. One, you call yourselves queer, you call yourselves gay, you call yourselves lesbians. You call yourself trans. You can't be offended when someone else says that and calls you that because you label yourself, or you put yourself openly in this group. Number one. Number two, some of us who have been here a few years remember where one that was offensive. People took offense when you would call them that. These same people who stand proudly and talk about the pride they take in being labeled this way. I remember a time when they would find that offensive to call them queer. They would find that offensive, but now they stand proudly and say that. And I also remember it wasn't too long ago where to say and refer to somebody like that, not only was it offensive to that person, but it was not allowed in the workplace, you know, and even in as they say, polite society, you just didn't do that. But not now. Now it's welcomed. Okay, so you say, well, what does that have to do with what we're saying? Read this. Let me show you what the word says. In 1 Corinthians 6 chapter and the 9th verse, it says, or do you know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men. That's what the New International Version says. What does it say in the King James Version? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Effeminate. Now this is what the Word of God says. Now I want us to understand some things here. Let me pause here in saying this. You have a lot of people saying God hates homosexuals. God hates lesbians. Okay. No, God doesn't. He came here to save the lost. He's not just talking about those who physically lost, those who have lost their way when it comes to following what the word of God teaches, following what the Lord says to do and not to do. But he hates the very act. Follow what we're saying. God does not hate the thief, but he hates the act of thievery. God doesn't hate the murderer, but he hates the act of murder. You say, well, that's being semantical. Okay, fine. But there's a difference. There's a difference. Everybody that kills is not a murderer. The Lord is the only one who can look on the intent, the heart of man. He knows. He knows. And the only one besides the person themselves who knows what their intent is. You've been called into the service. You've been ordered to go out on the battlefield. You've been ordered to protect or secure an area, which means, of course, you have to shoot anybody that comes to invade it. No, that does not make you a murderer because you have to follow the orders given to you. But only you and the Lord knows. Yes, there are some people who relish that. I know that. There are some people who enjoy killing. Well, the Lord knows what their heart is. But there are some who say, well, Lord, I've been given orders. And their sense of duty says, I have to obey my orders. And they do what they do. We know that they know that also. We see that we too often see those who they reap well. You know, we see the response of those who have been given those terrible orders to go out and kill another human being and how it affects them and affected them. We see that. But again, the Lord knows the heart of man. It's not our place because we can't do it. Can't do it. That the word is very plain in what it says. This act, this type of behavior, God finds it detestable, abominable, the behavior. Does that mean he wiped himself away from that person, shunned that person? No. Remember, Jesus' words that has echoed and still going through time, you must be born again. That person who feels that way towards another man, a woman that feels that way towards another woman, they can be born again. They need to be born again. They need to have their mind renewed. And only the Lord can do that. He said, well, I feel pretty good in what I'm doing. Well, I guess you do. But God finds what you're doing detestable, abominable. Now, what do you want to do? Do you want to go through pleasing God, even to the point of what you think is pleasing to yourself, knowing that that will keep you eternally out of his presence? He said, you can't even inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write this. It's in this book. It was written well before I came here. If God says that'll keep you from being with me, because that's what you really want to do in your heart, that's what you want to do, that's what you want to be, that's what you, that's, these are the acts that you want to commit. You want to go around and commit murder. You want to be in the gay community doing these things that I told you that are detestable and abominable. That again comes down to your choice. But if you say, Lord, I feel like I'm known, but I see that you said, don't do that. I'm in conflict. The Lord said, let me. Just invite me. And I can have you be born from above. You need to be born again. Okay? This is if we're looking at these things from what the Word of God teaches. This is what we're about. Okay? Now, as far as race relations, again, all of these issues, I have not even begun to scratch the surface. I know that. Okay, but I'm kind of laying a type of foundation that we can build upon, that we can even discuss this further from the position of the Word of God, because the Word of God is important to us. That's what this podcast is about. How important is the Word of God to you when it comes to this issue? This issue of race relation, again, I know our time is winding up, so I'm just going to bring out one example that I think is very pertinent to this situation. Many of us have read and heard the story of the Good Samaritan. I love this parable. Y'all know the Good Samaritan. Let me just read it for you quickly. I'm not insulting anyone's intelligence, but just reading it in the interest of time. When the man asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? This is the way Jesus replied. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he paused and passed by, rather, on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Let me pause here 1 second. A lot of us feel as though, when somebody asks about neighbors, you look around and see who is your neighbor, that person, that person. But notice what the Lord said to him. Which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man? Not that the man was their neighbor. They needed the act of what they were doing is called a neighborly act. You are the neighbor. But let me, that's again a deeper lesson for another time. Okay. The expert in the law said to Jesus, the one who asked him the question from the beginning, he said, the one who had mercy on him. And this is what Jesus said to him, go and you do likewise. If you notice, this man was beaten. Now, I'm not going to dwell on those who passed by him and who they represented. But looking at the man who stopped at him, bandaged him, took care of him, dressed his wounds as much as he could right there on the spot, then put him on, his own beast, took him to the inn, did what he could for him then, but he had to continue on his journey. He gave the innkeeper some funds. Y'all heard the story. But one thing we did not hear, we didn't hear. One, this man was of a different culture, a different race than the Samaritan. That's why it was pointed out. Jews and Samaritans, they had no dealings with each other, didn't even speak to each other. But this man, this Samaritan, saw a man in need. And he was in a position where he could be of help. What I don't see is where he asked him, what is your political affiliation? Oh, you're of a different race than I am. Oh, you're of a different culture than I am. Did you start this fight? He didn't even ask him what happened. All he saw was at that point, that man was in dire straits, and he met him right there at his point of need. How many of us see people at a point of need that we can be of help? And we're able to look past their color, look past their culture, look past their political affiliation, look past their financial station in life, look past all these other different things that some might consider prejudices, and just see that they have a need and help them. But the person is there begging for food. Say, well, they can get this help, they can get that help. But you say, well, the least I can do, maybe give them a little piece of money so they can get food, or ask them, okay, would you like for me to give you something to eat? Or simply just give them something to eat. The key thing is what you feel it in your heart. Now, we live in a place where we see that so commonly that we can become very desensitized to that person's needs because we see it so often. But this is the point, one of the points I want to bring out. Race was not an issue, did not become an issue in this Samaritan helping him. In our society today, a lot of us have passed by friends. I dare say we might have even passed by angels because we looked at them and we saw a person of a different race, a different culture than we are. In this time, in this country, with all of the racial tensions that some of us has already gone through, some of us who've been here a few years, we still make that a big issue. When we look in the scriptures, and the Lord tells us not to, has told his people, you know, you don't marry the people in that society. It was not because of their race. It wasn't because of their color. It's because they did not follow him. They worshiped idol gods or no god. And he said, no, I don't want you intermingling with them lest you become influenced by them and you turn away from me also. That was the issue, not because of their color. Sure, no. That's something that man has made an issue, color. So, but we see an example and see what Jesus said for us to do likewise. You see someone that you are able to help. And you recognize that they have a need, a dire need. And you, thirdly, you feel that compassion in your heart to help them, help them. And then simply everything else, the Lord has told us so many times in his word that you do unto others, you have them do unto you. Even those in the world know that as the golden rule. We know that there's some who have another golden rule, basically say, well, hey, he who has the gold makes the rules. That's just, well, sad. That's just sad because those of us who understand certain things, yes, we do understand that it's still probably even less. It used to be 10% of the people control 90% of the world. It might not even be 10% now. It might be less than that that controls the majority of the world. But even that does not influence someone helping another person that's doing worse in certain areas, maybe not everything. I can't afford to give somebody, treat them to a whole new wardrobe who has no clothes. But I might be able to give them a shirt. He said, I can't get a big old overcoat. I don't have the overcoat to give somebody who's dealing with the cold. I'm cold myself, but maybe I got a pair of gloves. I can give you that. A scarf. You do what you can. And it doesn't matter what race they are. In this day and time, I've gave very simple examples, but in this day, again, in this day and time, there's so many different issues that people have in race relations. You say, well, hey, mean and this woman, we want to be married, want to go further. Are you taking in consideration the lineage that you're trying to be grafted into or married into? How's it going to affect children if you're going to have children? How does it affect y'all doing, just everyday living? Have you thought solely because I'm in love? We just want to do this. Hey, have you thought about those things? Are those things important to you? Not for you directly, say, but is it going to affect, how will it affect your relationship? All of these are part of race relations. It's sad that the influence, or what we like to say outside, influences how they will affect your direct relationship. But they do. And we have to take a lot of those things in consideration. Listen, we enjoyed this time with you. And like I said, I know we have not scratched the surface on any of these issues, but we've given something, as they say, food for thought for us to continue thinking about these issues. And we're willing to go deeper. We may not be able to do it all by way of our podcast. We may not be able to do it all like that. This may call for interaction, which we can do through our website, and we can do it when you email us. We can exchange ideas back and forward that manner, and on some occasions, we've even had phone calls, and hey, we are even willing on some of these issues that we talk about to engage in it, even in our Bible study. And we have made all of this welcome to each and every one of you who are listening. If you want to know how to engage with us on these matters, we have made it available to you. Even on our webpage, you'll be able to look in there and see and have access to our Bible study, our even just our website in and of itself. There are places for you to leave comments, even your own email if you want us to correspond to that matter. So we invite you to do that. Again, I'm your host, Brother Cotton, and we welcome you. We thank you for having spent this time listening to us, watching us, and again, look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. Thank you. May God bless you. And remember how important is the word of God to you when it comes to whatever. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time and pray that you continue to go with us as we go through this day. Allow us to live in such a manner that you can get the glory out of our lives. Continue to illuminate us, Father, by your word, through your word. Grant us the wisdom and understanding that we may be able to rightly divide your word. This we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.